Well, that's him.
Yud Dalet Shvat, Sunday the 9th of February, Rabbi Yaakov Svi Mor, Tu Bishvat, what are we celebrating? This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by family Blackman, Le'ilu Nishmas, Masora Roiza Bas Rabbi Nyomun HaKohen Oleh HaShalom, Le'ilu Nishmas Ba'alo, Rabbi Moshe David Ben Rabbi Avram Chanoch Zichron Levrocha.
Actually, only Tezvot Bishvat tonight, but it has its consequences already at Mincha today. We don't say Tachnun. And besides eating fruits, which is the customary way of celebrating, we need to understand what exactly are we celebrating. So to start the topic from the beginning, the Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, lists out those dates in the year which are special, New Year's. And the final one, there's a list of four in the Mishnah, the final one is Echod Bishvat, the first of Shvat, Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan, is the New Year for a tree, Kedibrei Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel Leinim, B'chamisha Asabai, and of course we follow Beis Hillel. But what does it mean? A tree has a Rosh Hashanah. So first of all, let's say what it's not. It's not a day of judgment for the trees. There is a day of judgment for the trees regarding the quality of the fruits, and that is Shavuos, because that's a brisa later in Rosh Hashanah, that the Zayin Ba'atzeres Al Peiros Ha'ilon. On Shavuos is decided the destiny of the fruits of the trees. So it's not a Yom Hadin. So what's the significance of the Rosh Hashanah? There are many mitzvahs with fruits of trees for which you need to know which year we are in. For example, Trumas and Maisras. There's Trumas and Maisras from fruits as well as grain. And the dinim of Trumas and Maisras are associated with particular years. So for example, the most basic din is that when one takes truma from a batch of fruit, it must only be taken from that particular year's batch. You can't mix 2 years together. We learn this from a pasuk, famous pasuk, aseh to aseh, es kol tvoa zarecha, which we lay in often on Yom Tov, hayotze hasode shana shana. You can't mix 2 years together. So what determines the new year, not Rosh Hashanah, our new year, but rather Tu Bishvat, the peiros, the fruits which have budded, they've developed. It's called chanota, is the technical term. The chanota, the budding of the fruits, has taken place before Tu Bishvat. So for example, today, the buds of fruits which appear today, they belong to the previous year. We can call that Tovshin Ayin Tes. Tomorrow, anything which buds tomorrow belongs to Tovshin Pei. And the Gemara says it's not just a way of understanding, making a cut-off date, but it's actually connected with our Rosh Hashanah Tovshin Pei, with the beginning of Tishri, because it takes time for buds to appear on a tree. There's a whole process. And the Gemara in Daf Yudalet explains, first the rains get absorbed into the soil, then eventually that creates moisture, which is sucked up by the roots of the trees, and it produces sap, which works its way up. And eventually, after many, many, many weeks, the buds appear, which are the little fruits. So actually, anything which is budding still today, up to today and inclusive, is all from the rains of pre-Rosh Hashanah Tovshin Pei. It's from Elul, or Av, in Toshin Ayin Tes. And only as from tomorrow onwards, we connect those with the rains which have fallen since Rosh Hashanah Tovshin Pei. So it's actually really based on our Tovshin Ayin Tes and Tovshin Pei, which starts in the beginning of Tishri. But it just takes time for this whole process. That's how the Gemara explains it, why we have to wait until Tu Bishvat, till we get the new season of fruits, which belong to Tovshin Pei. The minhag that we have to eat fruits, it's not mentioned in the Gemara, it's not mentioned in the Rambam, it's not even mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. The Mogen Avraham on the Shulchan Aruch, in the Dinim of Tachnun, mentions it. He says, Noyagim ho Ashkenazim laharbois b'minei perish el ilonis. Seems it was not a universal minhag. It was attributed to the Ashkenazim to eat several fruits, which is to remember this idea. I once saw in Pri Tzadik, that's from Rav Tzadik HaKohen, he says he hasn't found this meaning of eating peiros in any of the early sources, not from the times of the Kohenim. In the later Rishonim he found it, but it's a relatively new custom, and the question is, what's the purpose of eating fruits? I mean, we don't take trumas and maisas from the fruits which we eat as we eat them. It's only Peres Eretz Yisrael. This minig, Noigim Ashkenazim, suggests that it wasn't in Eretz Yisrael, it was in Ashkenaz. And therefore, the simple understanding is there was a way of connecting to this theme that we should remember this idea, which is takes up many halachas in the Gemara and in the Rambam, which we do observe in Eretz Yisrael, which is the rule of Chanota. When the Peiros have the Chanota, that starts the new year. So it's a way of remembering and associating with this Rosh Hashanah. However, it seems there's something more than this. It seems there's some form of celebration. Because not saying Tachman, which is where it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, is only when there's at least a mini yantav, some element of simcha. And actually the Rishonim do say there's a Mordechai, one of the Rishonim, and Agos Maimini on the Rambam, who say that it's forbidden to make a tannis on Tu Bishvat. We don't make a hesped, and we don't make a tannis on Tu Bishvat. We have that three dinim. We don't say Tachnun, no hespedim, no tannesim. Chosin is getting married tomorrow, doesn't fast. So there must be an element of simcha. In fact, the Gro, the Vilna Gaon, on his Hagos and Shulchan Aruch, he says it's like a yontif. Like a yontif, it's an element of yontif. The Levush, one of the very early Achronim, he says, Osuhu, the Chachamim, made it kama yontif, like a yontif. Obviously, it's not a proper yontif, but it's like a mini yontif, a celebration. But the big question is, what exactly is the simcha? For people who are not involved, if you're not a farmer, you're not producing fruits, so why is there a simcha? What exactly are we happy about? There's another question. In Megillas Esther, there's a medrash on Megillas Esther known as Targum Sheni. It's printed in some Megillas Esthers. Sorry, it's Bimba Chumash, it's usually printed at the back. A Targum Sheni is from Chazal. And it's tells us interesting additional points about what went on in the Megillah. So the Pasuk tells us in the Megillah, it's 30 days before Purim now as well, Tu Bishvat, so it's appropriate to start talking about the Megillah. The Pasuk tells us that Haman made a goyrel and he worked out the date for his annihilation of Klal Yisrael. He worked through a system, miyayim liyayim, or mechaydesh lechaydesh, until he reached the chaydesh name Asa, who chaydesh Adar. So the Targum Sheni says that Haman did some research on the months and what they mean to Klal Yisrael to find out if he'll be successful with his gezeira. So he worked his way through all the months. So it starts off the month of Nisan, Tzias Mitzrayim, Pesach, no chance of annihilating Klal Yisrael in the month of Nisan. Here, we said in the parasha yesterday in Beshalach that the Mon came down in Chodesh Iyar. So Klal Yisrael was sustained with Mon, Chodesh Iyar. I'm not going to wipe them out in Iyar. Sivan, Matan Torah. Tammuz, Megillas Esther was already after Purim by Srishan, and we know the walls of Yerushalayim were breached in Tammuz. We have Shiva Osa Tammuz. So Haman had a calculation, he said, Klal Yisrael have already paid their dues in Tammuz. They've already suffered in Tammuz. They might not suffer twice in the same month. Chodesh Av, interestingly, he didn't say because of the Churban. Chodesh Av was because we have Chamisha Osa Av, Tu Av, which is also a Yontav, and the people in the Midbar who were supposed to die over the course of 40 years, it was completed on Tu Av, on the 15th of Av, so he says, I'm not going to succeed in the month of Av. Then Elul, he said, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the final Luchos on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and he was successful, so Elul seems to be a Mazel Tikka month. Tishri, he singled out Yom Kippur, it's a day of Kapora for Klal Yisrael. That's not going to work. Macheshvan, that was the day when the Mabul started. Rashi brings a Machlekes, but during the month of Macheshvan, the Mabul began. And Noyachus spared. And Klal Yisrael subscribed to Noyach as being the Tzaddik who stood out amongst all the Rishoim. And Klal Yisrael emulate and appreciate Noach. So because of the schus of Noach that we appreciate, that will protect Klal Yisrael in the month of Malcheshvan. Kislev was the month when the first base of Mikdash was actually established. The Mishkan also, the actual Melacha was finished on Chofei Kislev. So although the Yom Tov Chanukah was only in Bayis Sheni, it hadn't happened yet, but there had already been Schusim for Klal Yisrael in the month of Kislev. Teves was the Churban Bayis Rishon, and Buchanetzar came with his army on Asar B'Teves. So there again, his rationale was that they've already suffered in the month of Teves. Not many months left. We get to Shvat. He says, Shvat! Ah, Klal Yisrael celebrate Tu B'Shvat. Because that's the time when the Peiros start budding for the new year, and Klal Yisrael are planning to bring Bikurim from the Peiros. So that's such a tremendous chus that we celebrate the fact that we have new Peiros for which we can do the new mitzvah Bikurim. That's a tremendous chus for Klal Yisrael. So Shvat is not going to go. Shvat, so we know he was only left with the final month Adar. And that was Mechodesh L'Chodesh, Mechodesh Neimasu L'Chodesh Adar. So we see that Tu B'Shvat is a schus for Klal Yisrael. We celebrate Tu B'Shvat as a schus for Klal Yisrael. But we still haven't got to the bottom of this. So what exactly are we celebrating? What is it? So the Levush, who told us that it's a mini yontiv, the Levush is the most authoritative source I've ever seen, which gives some sort of definition to what the Simcha is. He says, Kiven dehu haschola is the start, it's the beginning, ledovo shel mitzvah. It's the launch of a fresh year of mitzvahs, which we do with Peiros. And this concept of a haschola, the start of a dovo shel mitzvah, is so important, it's so precious, that that Chazal made it into a mini yantiv. So I'd like to give some other examples where we find this idea of a scholar of a dovah shal mitzvah. It actually has other halachic consequences. There's an interesting tshuva from Rabbi Yitzchok Yochanan Spector. That's tshuvas Be'er Yitzchok. He was one of the poiskei hadoyr, one of the litvshe gedolei hadoyr in his time. He was a foremost poisek. And he was asked an interesting question. There was a group of people in the town who had got together to write a Sefer Torah. And to launch the writing of the Sefer Torah, the base for the letter Breishis, they made a celebration. They made a Suda, they made a Fleishik Suda, a Miti meal to launch Ksiva Sefer Torah. And they asked Rabbi Yitzchok Yochanan, does this Suda have the status of a Suda's mitzvah? Is it a Suda's mitzvah? We know a Siyum is a Suda's mitzvah, but this is just starting. So in case you're wondering what's the big deal, I mean, so you want to have a Suda, so make a Suda. So there's no harm. But there was a rule in that town that for the meat there was a tax that had to be paid, and a Suda's mitzvah was exempt from the tax. So now it was already monetary issue. So obviously the one in charge of collecting the tax for the meat says, when you finish the Sefer Torah and you make a celebration, then you'll be potter from paying for the tax. But now you're just launching, you're starting, that's not Sudas Mitzvah. And the people making the celebration said, no, maybe it is Sudas Mitzvah, let's ask the Poyser Gadol. And in Ber Yitzchok, in Yerideya, Simon Yotes, he has a tshuva on this subject. The first part of the tshuva is to establish the people who get together and write the Sefer Torah, Peshutvus, each one is Mekayim, Mitzvahs, Ksiva, Sefer Torah. Even though they don't, no one person has exclusive rights on the Sefer Torah, but there's still a fulfillment of the Mitzvah, Ksiva, Sefer Torah. That's part one of the tshuva. Then he turns to this issue of starting a mitzvah. And he brings an interesting raya. He says he has a raya that starting a mitzvah will also a celebration, a suda, to start a mitzvah will have a rule of a sudas mitzvah. The Gemara says in Psochim, Daf Mem Tes, Amud Aleph, that if somebody is on the way to do a mitzvah, and he remembers he has some chometz which he hasn't been got rid of, there's a special concession, he can be mevatle belibo, he doesn't have to go back and waste time getting rid of the chometz, he can just do bittel chometz, even belave, and that's sufficient. And the Gemara gives several examples of a davish al mitzvah. He's either going to shecht his carbon Pesach, or he's about to do a bris milah for his son, or he's going to eat a sudas erusin bebeis chometz. But the Erusin, which was the Kiddushin, part one of the marriage, they used to have a minute to make a Suda. And if a person is going to this Suda's Erusin, then he's in a situation where he's engaged in a mitzvah, because he's busy attending a Suda's Erusin. So says Rabbi Zochanan, we see from this Gemara, a Suda's Erusin is definitely classified as a Suda's mitzvah. But then he says, what exactly is the mitzvah of Erusin? So he quotes the Ran. The Ran in Masechtas Ksubas asks the famous question, why do we not make a bracha under the chuppah asher kedishanu b'mitzvahis of tzivonu l'kaddish esu isha? There's no bracha of a birkas hamitzvah, of a regular birkas hamitzvah, l'kaddish esu isha. We do make a birkas Erusin, but we don't talk about the mitzvah asher kedishanu b'mitzvahis. So we make a different bracha, asher kedishanu b'mitzvahis. And nice bracha about the kedushas klal Yisrael that we have chuppah and kedushin. But the Ran asked the kasha, why don't we simply say a bracha like all mitzvahs? Asher kedushan mitzvahis of tzivonu l'kaddish tishah. The choshen should say that bracha before he puts the ring on. So the Ran says, because kedushin is only the start of the mitzvah. It's not the gemar of the mitzvah. The gemar of the mitzvah is the nisuin, the chuppah. Now we do it all together. We do the kiddushin and the chuppah all at the same time. The yichud after the chuppah is the, according to some shits, is the main aspect of the chuppah. But we do it all more or less at the same time. But in the olden days, as we probably know, there was a big break between erusin and nisuin. So says the Ran, the mitzvah is the marriage, ki yikach ish isha. The completion of the marriage is only at the chuppah. This is only stage one. It's not the gemara mitzvah. And therefore, no, so says the Ran, we have a klal, it's a gemara in Menachos, kol mitzvah she'ein asiyosa, doing that act, einoi gemara mitzvasa, it hasn't completed the mitzvah, ein mevorchin aleh. So then the Ran asked the Kasha, okay, so when you do the chuppah, so maybe make the bracha then. He says the bracha has to mention both the kiddushin and the chuppah, and you've already done the kiddushin a year ago, so therefore Chazal did away with this bracha, and instead they inserted a different type of bracha on the general concept of chuppah v'kiddushin. So says the Be'er Yitzchok, says Rabbi Yitzchok Chonan. He says, we have a Gemara which says the Sudas Erusin is a Sudas Mitzvah. We have a Ran which tells us that the Erusin is not the Gemar HaMitzvah. It's only the Haschol of the Mitzvah. So he says, I have from the Ran a clear proof that when one does stage one of a Mitzvah, that has the status of a Sudas Mitzvah. And therefore, the Chevra writing the Sefer Torah, apart from paying for the tax for the meat. That was the bottom line. There's another interesting raya. Yitzchak doesn't bring this raya, but one can bring a proof from an interesting comment from Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom, one of the first Rishonim, Rabbeinu Gershom, Meir HaGoyla, on the Gemara in Bava Basra, there's a Gemara which talks about another Chamisha Osa. Chamisha Osa Ba'av. Kufcha Fala from a base of Bava Basra, the Gemara says, we have a celebration, some people call it Tu Ba'av, Chamisha Osa Ba'av. What's the celebration all about? And the Gemara gives various opinions. One of the main opinions comes from Rabbah and Rav Yosef, the Omri Tarvayu. They both said, Yoim Shepoiskim Boy, the day when they stopped, Milichrois Eitzim Lamarocha, from cutting the wood for the Mizbeach. They used to cut the wood for the Mizbeach only in the very hot weather, so the wood should be dry. And on Chamisha Osa Ba'av, that was the cut-off date. No more cutting wood for the Mizbeach after then, because the sun was now losing its intense heat from then onwards, and therefore there was down tools. And the Gemara actually says, it's not just my expression, down tools. The Gemara says they used to have a nickname for that day. They used to call it Yom Tavor Magol. Tavor means to break. Magol means the axe. It's the day when they used to break the axes, which means they used to stop chopping the wood. So the question is, what's the simcha when they finished chopping the wood? What is the simcha? So the Mekhi Yosef says, and some Rishonim learn, that the simcha was a siyum. They finished this year's mitzvah of cutting wood from Mizbeach. Cutting wood from Mizbeach is a, well, it's only a Heksha mitzvah technically, but it's an activity, it's a mitzvah activity, and it was finished on Chamisha Asa Ba'av. So they used to celebrate, and they made a yontif. And Mekhi Yosef says that this Gemara is one of the main makoros in Shas. This is one of the main makoros in Shas for the concept of making a siyum on a mesechta or on a mitzvah. One finishes a mitzvah which took place over a course of time. One makes a special celebration. And this concept of siyum on mitzvah and siyum on a limud, comes from this Gemara, Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef. Rabbeinu Gershom, in his comments here on the side of the page, he learns the Gemara just the opposite way around. He says, when they were cutting the wood, they weren't able to learn. Their regular learning program was put on hold while they were cutting the wood. They couldn't learn. The day when they stopped, asu yomtiv, so they made a yomtiv out of it. They could restart the season of the new learning program. We have to start the day. They had to start the season with the Torah way. They went back to the Gemaras. They started learning again. Says Rabbeinu Gershom, Chamisha Osa Ba'af was a Yom Tavo Magol. Now we understand why they use such a description. It's the day when they broke the axes. It sounds like they were pleased to get rid of them. They broke the axes. It was, okay, job done, put that aside. Now we can get on with something greater, the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. It was the launch of the new learning program, and that's what they made the Yomtiv for. So, in the same way the Rishonim say this Gemara is a raya for the concept of a siyum, according to Rabbeinu Gershom, we have a raya just the other way around, that this Gemara is a makoyer for a celebration for haschola v'davash mitzvah. And it's as choshev that the Rishonim say, we see from Chamisha Osa Ba'av, it's got the same rules, we don't say tachnun, it's Osa Ba'hespet, Osa Ba'tanis. So we find several makoyers for this inyan of a haschola v'davash mitzvah. The concept of a haschola v'davash mitzvah, if we think about what actually lies in it, what's the message in celebrating the start of a mitzvah, it's actually a Madrega. It's a very special level in attitude to mitzvahs. Mitzvah is always a challenge. All mitzvahs, by the very nature of the word mitzvah, it's a command. It's a tzivug, which means it comes from an external source. There's somebody asking me to do something, and I have to comply. That's always a challenge for a human being, to comply with any external requirement. And the Malbim writes in Sefer Mishlei on a pasuk, which is actually very much associated to yesterday's parasha. Shlomo HaMelech writes in Mishlei a pasuk, Chacham Leiv Yikach Mitzvahs. The Medrash in Bishalach says this is in particular referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayikach Moshe as Atzmois Yosef Imoy. At the time when all Klal Yisrael were busy loading up the Ruchush, the Klei Kesef and the Klei Zov, which they took from the Mitzri, and Moshe Rabbeinu was spending time finding Yosef's remains, and he personally took them out, as the Pasuk says, Vayikach Moshe as Atzmois Yosef Imoy. He took it mamish with him. The Medrash says he first put Yosef on his shoulders, and later on he kept Yosef together with him in his tent. And as I'll say, this is an example of Chacham Leiv. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Chacham Leiv. Yikach mitzvahs. So the Malbim says, what's this expression, yikach mitzvahs? The Malbim, who's a Bokin Tanach, says this is the only place in the entire Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim where we find mitzvahs being described as something which one takes. There's asiyas mitzvahs, to do mitzvahs, asisa moisam, ushmartam is mitzvahs, shmiras mitzvahs. But nowhere else in Tanakh do we find yikach mitzvahs, to take mitzvahs. Says the Malbim, because it's a contradiction in terms. Yikach means that which you take because you want. Shmiras mitzvahs, asiyas mitzvahs, is to comply and to conform and to obey instructions. But yeah, that was the, of course, yeah, but that is a very physical action. You should actually take the time. Right? Here we're talking about the concept of an attitude to a mitzvah. There it's talking about what you should actually do. Go and take the lamb. Is to take, physically to take. The Malbim is not pointing out, of course we find the word kicha, v'yikach moishas chatzi adam, in at the end of the Mishpat. So the word kicha certainly is used in activities of mitzvahs, in describing what one is doing. But the Malbim says this is the only place where it's describing an attitude to mitzvahs, the way in which we observe mitzvahs. That we don't do kicha of mitzvahs, we do shmiras mitzvahs. We say he's a shomer mitzvahs, he's a shomer Shabbos, he does a mitzvah. But the kicha of mitzvahs, it's almost a contradiction in terms, because kicha means I take, mitzvah means somebody has commanded me. So it's almost a contradiction in terms. The Malbim says the only person who can take a mitzvah is a chacham leiv. Because leiv means that which a person wants to do. He has his heart in it. That's leiv. Chacham refers to the mind, the intellect. Normally there's a contradiction. People have what they want to do. But when there's a mitzvah to do, you say, okay, I put my wants aside and I do what the intellect says I have to do. A chacham leiv is somebody who's reached a unique madrega, says the Malbim, as Moshe Rabbeinu did, that his leiv, his desires, were based 100% on chokhmah. He never had a want, a desire to do anything unless the chokhmah dictated it ought to be done. That's a chacham leiv. Only the chacham leiv yikach mitzvahs. Only the chacham leiv has an attitude that he wants to take a mitzvah, he wants to grab a mitzvah. Everybody else lower than that madrega is just obeying instructions. This concept that we've discovered today from the Levush, that the celebration of Tu B'Shvat is the haschola v'dovash ha-mitzvah, it's a whole level of appreciation and expressing our appreciation of v'dovash ha-mitzvah, that even just at the very beginning, we haven't yet achieved. The achievement is still a long way off. As Homlin said, the Klal Yisrael get excited when there's new payers, because one day we're going to bring Bikurim from these payers. You can't bring Bikurim till the next Shavuos. It's the start time for bringing Bikurim. And nevertheless, Tu Bishvat generates an excitement for Dovah Shal Mitzvah. A Haschol of a Dovah Shal Mitzvah is a tremendous chus for Klal Yisrael. It was the chus for Klal Yisrael that Homlin felt there's nothing we do against Klal Yisrael in the month of Shvat. So this is perhaps the pnimius of the day. The feeling and the hashkofa, the perspective we should have for the yontiv of Tu Bishvat, let it be as chus taka for Klal Yisrael, which be zeicha to Yeshua's Bnei Chomos.